now, it's your turn with Dave Mularkey. 724-283-2525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's your turn on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn, 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Mularkey.
Well, hello there. Good afternoon. Welcome. Nice to have you with us on the Friday edition of It's Your Turn here on WISR. Kind of a gray day. We had a touch of sunshine early this morning. It was around, 7:30, around in there. Sun comes up early. For another day anyway, and then we'll be back into darkness in the morning with change of clocks. But it was on 7:30, I think. And the sun popped out, and the temperature jumped up a few degrees, and then the next thing you know, it was gray again, and it's been pretty much gray the rest of the day, thus far at least. So we'll see. Not a bad day. It's very typical of March. The month of March is hard to predict just what kind of weather you're going to have. Does anybody remember a winter as mild as this one has been? I certainly don't. Let's talk about it. Open talk on the first portion of the program today. 283-2525 is our number. 283-2525. I don't keep records. I know of a couple of people who, keep a little journal or a notebook and they write down the weather every day. I've never done that. I did it once during golf season. It was a long time ago. I don't have any evidence to fall back on. I just can't remember a winter that was this mild. I mean, we've not just gone days without any snow cover. We've gone weeks without any snow cover this year. You know, ordinarily, you can't wait till April when finally, you can see the grass again. And, we've seen grass most all winter. Now, we've had a couple of snows, no question about that. But the biggest one I remember was 3-4 inches. And that was just within the past couple of weeks. And that didn't last any more than a day. Other than that, it's just been occasionally you get enough to cover the ground and give you some slick spots. Yeah. Snow days, which are just horrible for school superintendents, hardly anything this year. Now, we're not out of the woods yet. We have a little less than 2 weeks to go until spring. First day of spring is March 19th this year, a little earlier than usual, day or two earlier. That happens occasionally. So that was 2 weeks from yesterday, first day of spring. And even at the end of March, you can still get some bad weather. So don't want to jinx things by talking about it too much. But, every day we get a day closer to spring. And not a whole lot happening weather-wise. We're going to, a little bit later on the program here today, take a quick check back and see what the folks at the Old Farmer's Almanac predicted. I talked to them. It was Ben Kilbride, is one of the assistant editors from the Old Farmer's Almanac, was on with us back in November. And I talked with him, of course, if you're going to talk with the folks at the Almanac, what are you predicting for the winter? And by gosh, they were pretty accurate. We'll take a quick listen to that here in a little while. I couldn't remember what he said, but I thought about it yesterday. And I said, I'm going to go back into the archives here and dig out that interview that we did with Ben. And it's just a quick snippet, a few seconds, but we'll play it for you a little bit later here. Not a bad prediction. Not totally accurate, but not a bad prediction. I can remember as a kid, loved to go sled riding in the wintertime, go ice skating on the pond, and I don't know. Were there ever any periods where it was cold enough to go ice fishing on Lake Arthur out of Moraine State Park. I was not out past the Lake Arthur during the deep winter months. I usually am out there at least a couple of times, but I don't know whether they ever did any ice fishing or not. There could have been a whole heck of a lot of it, and it just wasn't cold enough. No. But we used to sled ride in the wintertime. I don't know whether we had a single day this year where there was really enough snow for kids to go sled riding. That one fairly heavy snow that we had, 3 or 4 inches a few weeks back, was very heavy, wet snow. It was not conducive to sled riding. It was good for making snowmen, snow forts, but not for sled riding. Well, a strange winter. No complaints about it, at least for most quarters. Unless you're one of those people who loves snow and ice. Most folks happy to have a mild winter. I just don't remember anything like it, at least in my memory. 283-2525 is our number. Open talk on the program today. We change the clocks. This weekend we go to daylight saving time, 2 a.m. on Sunday, but nobody stays up till 2 a.m. just to change the clocks. You know, you do it tomorrow night before you go to bed, right? Saturday night, you move all your clocks ahead 1 hour, and then you're all set to go with daylight saving time on Sunday. I had a little bit of a debate with one of our guests yesterday about the impact of daylight saving time. Maybe we'll talk about that. But at any rate, it's open talk here on the program today, so feel free to join us at 283-2525. Let's get to the people here. Hi, caller. This is Dave Malarkey. Go right ahead. It's your turn. You're on the air.
Yes, I'd like to bring up this idea that they say the teachers have to do it in their own funds and buy school supplies from some of the students.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what is the union? If the union gives $6 million to Governor Wolf's campaign fund, why can't the union give back to some of these school districts who can't afford it? And then if the schools have a sporting team, that's a luxury. Why don't they cut the budget off the sporting teams and bring buy school supplies?
Well, let's address a couple of things. I do know, and I've read stories about teachers, you know, having to buy school supplies. There was a school recently, a couple of weeks back, that went online to Facebook or somewhere that they were running out of school supplies and they got inundated. It was down around Pittsburgh somewhere. I forget exactly where it was.
Yeah, they were running out of papers. They couldn't print no more papers. But the union donates all that money. And when was the last time there was a strike? They have to have money built up in that union. If they give money to the politicians, why can't they give money back to the school districts?
Well, you know, that's... You know, that's the way unions operate, not just teachers.
Union president, and I used to donate to the other things. Not the school union, where I was United Steelworkers, we used to donate to different things that people needed money.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe the PSEA does. I do not know.
Yeah. The same way with sports. Sports are a luxury. You cut out, if you can't afford one thing, you've got to cut out your luxuries and bring the money down to academics. Academics should be coming before sports.
Well, I wouldn't argue with that, but don't you think that sports can generate great school spirit? Look at just for one example, we've got like 7 or 8 basketball teams that are in the state playoffs this weekend. Look at Butler. Look at how the community has rallied around the Butler boys basketball team. I mean, that's good stuff, don't you think?
Yeah, but less than 1% will any of them kids go on to do anything in any sport. Wow. And how many have to become teachers or engineers or anything else? What comes first, education or sports?
Well, education, of course, but you know, I think sports are an important part of the educational process.
There are some schools that don't have sports, and they do fine.
Well. I don't know. It sounds like you're anti-sport.
No, I'm not anti-sport. I'm like, if I have a budget and I can't afford to go to the movies, I cut my movies out and put food on the table. That's what you have to do. You got to run your like a home. You don't give sports. When was the last time you were short on basketballs? When was the last time you were short on football or pads?
I can remember, and I know that kids, I guess in many schools, kids today are responsible for tablets and pencils and stuff like that. When I was in elementary school, they were handed out to us.
That's right.
You know?
Every 6 months or something like that.
I don't remember how often you got them, but I can remember I can distinctly remember the tablets we used to get. They had a map of Pennsylvania on the front cover. And, you know, everybody would end up coloring them in because that's what elementary kids do. But, I mean, we never had to buy our own tablets or pencils or anything when I was in elementary school.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Why don't those sports people, if they want to play sports, have fundraisers and pay for their sports that way? Just like band people. Band people pay for sports. Band, one of the things that they grade you on, yet they cut band and art out. Constantly, and you can become an art teacher. You can become more people become art teachers and playing bands. You can be a 40-year-old and playing bands. How many 40-year-olds are playing football? Three, I can think of.
Yeah, well, obviously, there's not too many become professional players. Not too many
right.
are good enough to play in college. But I mean, that's not the be all and the end all of sports at the high school level.
No, I didn't say end all sports. Sports should be second class to education, not first.
And there are.
And is there? You know, in this area, it's first, almost.
In all fairness, you know, I think most schools, most teams have parents' clubs or boosters, you know, whether it's basketball boosters or football boosters or whatever, because they raise money and have banquets for the kids at the end of the season and so on, you know.
But there's not one that they have to pay for lighting, they have to pay for... all them referees. Not that they don't raise that much money to pay for the referees and lighting and insurance for them people.
Well, you're correct. There are costs there. That's true.
Yeah.
Thanks, my friend. Good to talk with you today.
Yep. Thank you.
Sure.
Bye.
So long. I don't know. I can agree with him that education should be of paramount importance, but gosh, I think sports at the high school level are great for the community. No matter what community it is. As I mentioned, we've got seven or eight teams, boys and girls, who have made it to the states, not just to the postseason, to the district playoffs, the WPIAL, or District 9, or District 10, or whatever. They've made it to states. And they'll all play either tonight or tomorrow afternoon. And, you know, that has generated great community spirit in the towns in the various districts. There's some expense involved. 283-2525 is the number, 283-2525. Back to daylight saving time. I was talking with Dr. Phyllis Z yesterday, and she was talking about the fact that the switch to daylight savings time raises health issues for some people. And I don't know. I didn't want to argue with her or really debate. I told her that I was a bit of a doubter, and I think she got a little peeved. I'm not sure. But I just don't... I can't quite understand how a simple... changing of the clocks by 1 hour twice a year can cause that much disruption in a person's life. She was talking yesterday, if you weren't with us, about sun time and body, you know, your body clock and the sun clock. And she went on and on. And, you know, what I'm thinking is, even if you don't change the... Say we didn't change the clocks. Say we stayed on... either standard time or daylight time all year long, either one, you would still have a tremendous difference in the amount of daylight between summer and winter. I calculated it one time, and I don't have those numbers in front of me right now, but it's somewhere between 4 and 5 hours. You know, in late June, we have 4 to 5 hours more daylight than we do in mid-December. And it's an incredible difference. So you wouldn't that affect people, whether we change the clocks or not? I didn't get to that with Dr. Z yesterday. And again, I didn't want to be argumentative with her. She cited statistics that there are more auto accidents when we change the clocks and more medical issues, more heart attacks. I don't know. I can't argue with that, but and then we had a guy on the news this morning here on WISR who said, well, daylight saving time was created in the first place because I thought it was going to save energy. But, he said, convenience stores report a tremendous increase in the amount of gasoline sold once we got a daylight saving time. Well, of course. You would have more gasoline sold if you didn't go to daylight saving time. We have 4 more hours of daylight. People are going to be driving more whether you change the clocks or not, right? Right? Am I missing something here? Or I love daylight saving time myself. Certainly hope they don't do away with it. 283-2525 is our number. It's Open Talk. Hi, caller. This is Dave. Thanks for waiting. Go right ahead. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hello.
To all of you and your listeners.
Hi.
I'd like to talk about the Clearview Mall.
Okay.
Let us save the Clearview Mall. Why are all these stores going out of business? Now, I've heard the rent is too high. Why isn't that manager that's taking care of that Clearview Mall lowering the Clearview Mall rents for these stores? Let's bring in some new stores. We cannot, Butler County, we cannot let Clearview Mall go down fold up like the Butler Mall. Let's all get it together. Can we get the manager from the Clearview Mall and find out what the story is?
Well, I hear what you're saying, but you have to understand that, I like the Clearview Mall too, and I certainly hope we don't lose it, but malls all over the country are losing tenants. It's not just Clearview Mall.
Well, I understand that, but we can save this mall by doing things. Now, maybe it's rumor, but I heard Victoria's Secret wanted to come to the Clearview Mall. That manager, now, could be rumor, but I've heard he's picking and choosing, or he's not wanting them because he didn't want that store, a particular store, in that mall. Now, that could be rumor. I'm not sure. I heard that. But I'd like to know. We should, Butler County, we could do a lot better. We need to get stores up there. When you go to these stores, they're telling you that the rent is too high. And so, that's why they're going out. They want to stay, but the guy won't lower the rent.
Well, now, wait a minute.
Is that
just true? Stop and think for a minute. Sears is gone. They've closed almost all their stores all over the country. Macy's is closing a ton of stores. Bon-Ton has gone out of business. So, it's not high lease payment. It's because many of these stores are going out of business.
You do have a point on that. I get you. But there's other ones, like the GameStop. The rent was too high. That other one, I was just in there the other day. He said his rent's too high, so he has to raise up his prices to sell his goods, and they're just barely getting by. Penny's is soon going to go under in that mall, but Penny's in Ross Park is going to stay open.
How do you know all this?
Because let's get let's confirm that with the manager at the Clearview Mall. Why don't we call him, get him on Speak Up for a talk show? Let's get this Butler County to save the Clearview Mall.
Okay. Thanks.
Let's hear some other callers, please.
Thanks for the call. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sure. Well, first of all, rumors, rumors all over the place. Just because you see something on social media doesn't mean that it's true. And malls the concept of an indoor mall, it's losing popularity all over the country. It's not just here. Some malls are being repurposed. Some are going, trying to get new tenants. But, you know, and how do you know that they haven't offered lower lease arrangements for either? I have no idea. 283-2525 is our number, open talk. Hi, caller. This is Dave. Go right ahead. It's your turn. You're on the air.
Hi, Dave. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
I just have two, and I'll try to make them quick comments. First of all, I'm going to agree with you to the point that I don't know why an hour of sleep is such a health hazard. What if people go to, you know, dinner and a dance and they're out late a couple, you know, one or two nights a year? Well, they've lost their sleep pattern. Sure. I don't see how 1 hour makes such a huge difference in our health.
And what's your other point?
Well, the other point is the Clearview Mall situation. It's sad, but across the country, these stores are going out of business. As you mentioned, Sears, Macy's, Kaufman's was a downtown Pittsburgh store, now gone.
Horn's?
I'm sorry?
Joseph Horn Company?
Yes, Joseph Horn Company. They were some of my favorites, but they are gone. And, you know, today we do so much online shopping. I don't happen to be an online shopper. I would like to see a couple of decent stores. But once again, if the people, I go up to the Clearview Mall on occasion and it's a ghost town. You know, I'm just not, people are walking. I think people use it as a health situation. They'll go up and do their laps. But I am not seeing a lot of people shopping. Things have changed. Like I said, I'm not a catalog shopper, but you know, the online shopping seems to be a real draw for people.
That's part of the change in pattern. That's for sure. Yeah.
Yes.
All right.
And as far as you know, the rent that they charge, well, you know, they've got to cover their utilities, their lighting, their whatever it is. I don't know anything about it, and you know, I'm not hearing rumors. I just know that there are a lot of empty stores up there, a lot of empty spaces.
Thanks for your comments. Good to talk with you today. Thanks.
Thank you for taking the call. Bye.
Oh, sure. 283-2525, open talk. Hi there, caller. Thanks for waiting. We appreciate your patience. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Yeah, I'm on that Clearview Mall.
Yes.
I say let it die.
Why would you say that?
I'm sort of old school. Let's bring back downtown. I think, you know, that's why people lost Christmas spirit. Used to go downtown and shop, see people you know, walk out, and get the fresh air and the snow, went to another store, and the malls took that all away, and they're not working.
Well, shopping patterns change. You know, I can remember when the first mall that I know of that opened in western Pennsylvania was Northway Mall down in the North Hills of Pittsburgh.
Right, yeah, I remember that.
Quickly followed by Monroeville Mall and South Hills Village and several other ones. And, of course, this was happening all over the country. But
as you said, shopping patterns change, but change isn't always for the better.
Well, I would agree with you on that as well. But malls were extremely popular when they first opened, and you know, there are different models now. A lot of retail establishment, bricks and mortar stores, they prefer the strip shopping center, like you see a lot of down in Cranberry, for example, or like you see out at Butler Crossing, you know, along Newcastle Road.
Yeah, but. You know, what's the shop at downtown? I used to have the Troutman's, the Hobbs, McCarran's.
I remember all
Jaffy's.
Those. I remember them. I remember those stores very fondly. Very
but
well.
But now on Main Street, you have tattoo shops and pizza places. Couple breweries are in town now.
But do keep in mind that when these patterns changed 40, 50 years ago, we didn't have online shopping either. Nobody ever heard of that.
Right.
And that has, you know, that's changed the way that a great many, I know people who do almost all of their shopping online. I do not. I do some, but I do not. I know people who do, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I don't see online shopping going away, but to me, if you have online shopping and malls or online shopping in downtown, I vote for online shopping in downtown.
I'd love to see downtowns go back to the glory days, but I think the best you can hope for is to keep them as healthy as possible. And the Butler downtown is, you know, is not bad compared with a lot of other cities. You know?
Well, yeah, there's some that relied strictly on steel mills. Like Farm Coke is out. I don't see, or AK, I guess. If AK goes out, I don't see Butler surviving much that way either.
Appreciate the call. Nice to share thoughts with you today. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks. Thanks. Bye now.
283-2525 is the number. I got to take a break here, so we'll do that. And when we come back, I want to revisit the interview we did with the folks at Old Farmer's Almanac last fall. See how accurate their prediction was for the winter. So stick around. We'll do that in just a minute or so. Back with more of It's Your Turn here on WISR in just a moment. Miller's Shoes, 215 South Main Street in downtown Butler, one of our sponsors, Miller's Shoes, headquarters for famous name brand shoes and boots. Boy, if you're looking for athletic shoes, it'd be crazy to go anywhere else other than Miller's Shoes. They have all the famous name brands for men, women, teens, kids. They've got Nike, New Balance, Saucony, Rockport, Keds, Skechers, Easy Spirit, Asics, ProPet. They got all of those, all under one roof, right there. Also, Timberland shoes and boots. They make great boots, Timberland. Go Walk boots by Skechers, Rockports. They're also your local headquarters for SAS comfort shoes, made in America. Men's and women's styles, various colors, and so, so comfortable. SAS comfort shoes. Miller's Shoes, 215 South Main Street in downtown Butler. Stop in. Say hi to Jimmy Ciprian and the rest of the Ciprians at Miller's Shoes. For more than 126 years, they've been a mainstay on South Main Street in downtown Butler.
The deals at Tobacco for Less just keep getting better and better. Their stores now include a great loyalty program for valued customers that can help you save on your purchases. Each dollar spent at Tobacco for Less will earn a point. And once you hit 200 points, you can redeem $10 off any purchase of $25 or more. Stock up on their various tobacco products, explore the cigar selection in their walk-in humidor, or check out the great CBD products in their health and wellness department. For all your smoking and vaping needs, visit Tobacco for Less in Butler, Sharon, and Aliquippa.
Friday edition of It's Your Turn here on WISR, Friday, March 6th. Can you believe we're almost a week into March already? Boy, how the time flies, huh? Wow. Less than 2 weeks until the first day of spring. Are we out of winter yet? I don't know. I decided it might be a good idea to go back into the archives of It's Your Turn back to last fall, whenever I did my annual chat with the people at the Old Farmer's Almanac. This is the original Old Farmer's Almanac. You know the one I'm talking about. It's got the yellow cover with the year in big red numbers right in the middle there, Old Farmer's Almanac. So, you wonder about the accuracy. I mean, they print this thing in the fall. How could they possibly know what kind of winter we're going to have? So I decided that I'd go back and check it out. I talked in November of last year with Ben Kilbride. He's one of the associate editors for the Old Farmer's Almanac. They're based up in New Hampshire. Dublin, New Hampshire, I think. But anyway, what did the Old Farmer's Almanac people say about what kind of winter we were going to have? I tell you what, they weren't too far off. They weren't perfect. I'll check with Pat Parker. Do we have that little clip of Ben Kilbright? Here's what he had to say about what kind of winter we would have when I talked to him last November.
You're going to be looking for a little bit warmer of a winter. Still going to be winter, but on average, temperatures will be a little bit higher. And you're going to be looking for slightly above normal snowfall and a little bit more rainy than normal. So expect a good mix of everything.
Well, they missed on the snowfall. No question about that. But how about this? Is this going to be warmer than normal? Yes, absolutely. And he said it'll be a little bit more rain than normal. Yes, we've had a lot of rain during the winter. So they missed on the snowfall totals. But in all fairness, if you remember back earlier in the winter, not so much in the last month or so, but earlier in December and in January, there were several times that I can think of, four or five times, where there was heavy snow just north of Butler County, along the I-80 corridor and up in Venango and Clarion County. They got bombed a few times. And there were a couple of times where there were heavy snows south of us, too, south of Pittsburgh. So I wasn't too far off. I mean, after all, they were predicting this back in November. So I'd have to say, B-plus maybe on that forecast. Maybe a solid B for the folks at the Old Farmer's Almanac. I have to remember that when I talked to them this fall. See if they were as accurate in other parts of the country. Not bad. Old Farmer's Almanac, not bad. More to come on It's Your Turn today. We're going to be talking about arthritis on the next segment of the program. What do you know about arthritis? Dr. Susan Bloom, a medical doctor, will join us. I'll give you all you need to know about arthritis. So stick around. We'll be talking with her. She's down to Butler. We'll be talking with her on the telephone. Coming up here on It's Your Turn, right after these words.
Plan ahead. We've all learned from experience that living day to day can lead to too many last minute surprises. Surprises that are often difficult and frustrating to handle. And so it is with a funeral. Planning a proper funeral takes pre-planning, so that during periods of grieving and turmoil, you'll want those arrangements to already be taken care of. Thompson Miller Funeral Home in Butler has been pre-planning funerals for more than 90 years, and the third generation of the same family is here to help you with that planning process now. Make these choices now. The funeral service, the choice of caskets, which minister, priest, or rabbi, cremation, visitations, flowers, church service or not, all these decisions can be made now before your emotions get in the way of logical and practical decisions. Pre-plan now with Thompson Miller. Think about it, and then call us and meet with us to discuss it privately. Call 724-287-3706. 287-3706. Pre-arrangements. It really makes sense. Thompson Miller Funeral Home at the corner of East North and McCain Streets in downtown Butler. Thompson Miller, because we care.
Listeners, we're going to be talking about, first of all, nice to have you with us on the It's Your Turn program here today on WISR. My name is Dave Malarkey. We're going to be talking about arthritis on the next segment of the program. Our guest visiting with us by telephone is Dr. Susan Blum, MD, medical doctor, and the author of a book called Healing Arthritis, a three-step guide to conquering arthritis naturally. First of all, Dr. Blum, nice to have you with us here today for a few minutes. Good to talk with you.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm thrilled to be here.
Let's talk a little bit about arthritis. First of all, I understand from your book that it is the most common cause of disability in the world. Wow. Wow.
I know. That's really, that statistic was very interesting to me as well. And one of the reasons why I decided to write the book, because there's so much amazing new research that we know about the root causes of arthritis, and I wanted to get that the word out because people really need help.
Well, I know it's common. One might guess back pain or something like that is the most common cause for disability, but in fact, it's arthritis. Arthritis used to be thought of as a disease that older people got. That's not the case anymore, is it?
No. And so arthritis is a big umbrella. Okay, so that's the first thing to understand. There's two main big categories of chronic arthritis. One is the autoimmune category, and then you have things like rheumatoid arthritis and psoriatic arthritis, where we see those ads on TV all the time for these strong medication, mm-hmm. right, for arthritis, and lupus and Sjogren's and all these autoimmune conditions can have arthritis. And then you have the second big category called osteoarthritis, and that's the one that, you know, most people think is inevitable, right? It's wear and tear as you get older. And what I explore in the book is all the research that we now know that no matter what kind of arthritis you have, the inflammation and pain that you have in your joints starts somewhere else in the body, and that it's a systemic illness. It's not just about wear and tear, and that it's not inevitable. And, you know, the other big thing I want everyone to know is that the statistics, it's changed. It's not just for older folks. There's about, of all people between age 45 and 65, so that's middle age, 30% have doctor-diagnosed arthritis.
Hmm.
I mean, that's a huge number.
I was familiar with rheumatoid arthritis, autoimmune. I was familiar with osteo, which osteo's bone. You get some wear and tear in the...
Or injury, yeah.
Yeah, or injury, that's right. But you had another term in here that I've never even seen before, spondyloarthritis. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly.
Yes. So there's a condition called the category of spondyloarthritis. It gets that name because the back, the spine is often involved, and that's people with psoriatic arthritis, you know, people with psoriasis and also joint pain. That's a kind of spondyloarthritis because the back can be involved, as well as a condition called ankylosing spondylitis, which is it's not a very common AS or ankylosing spondylitis isn't as common, but psoriatic arthritis is actually pretty common, and that falls under that whole category that people don't really it's just terminology, mm-hmm. you know, that doctors mm-hmm. have. And I think it's really important that, yes, it's very important that a person with arthritis goes to their doctor and gets the right diagnosis. And if you're not sure what kind of arthritis you have, my book explains all that. The whole first section of the book is all the different kinds of arthritis, how to make a diagnosis, how they're different. And that's really important. But from a functional medicine perspective, I'm a functional medicine doc, which means I look at the root cause. So instead of I'm trying to find the root cause, what's triggering the inflammation, and we treat that. And then you can reverse the arthritis at the root of it. And we call it sort of upstream medicine. You know, conventional modern medicine, we really try to make this diagnosis, and we treat you downstream and just manage the symptoms all the way at the end of the river, right? Mm-hmm. But instead, let's head up to the mountains. You know, let's see where that river starts, you know, and treat it upstream at the beginning. And the places that we go are... looking at the food, right? Food is an enormous trigger for inflammation in the body, and so I talk a lot about what we know about food and making different kind of choices people could make and food plans that are better for arthritis. And at the end of the day, the good old Mediterranean diet is actually a very health-supportive, gut-supportive, arthritis-supportive food plan, but you really have to focus on those whole foods and get rid of all the sugar and processed foods, and which is the Mediterranean diet, you know, at the end of the day. And so you have to look at food, and the big, big, big thing that's come out in the past 5 years, which I really want to drive home to people listening, is gut health. You know, I'm sure, you know, people have read all about the microbiome, right?
Mm, yep,
you know,
yep.
You've heard about that. And so what we're learning and what we've learned a lot about already is that those 100 trillion bacteria that live in our gut and, you know, all these, our whole ecosystem that we live in us and around us, the ecosystem in your gut, the microbes, they help determine the amount of inflammation in your body. And so a healthy gut is a healthy immune system, and a healthy gut will keep the inflammation down in your body. And so I really explain that in detail in the book and what's the path to having a healthy gut, you know, so I explain why it's important and then how to heal your gut so that if you have an inflammatory arthritis of any kind, you need to make sure you have a healthy gut. That's like the first most important take home mm-hmm. that I want people to know.
You say in your book many times the root cause of arthritis is inflammation. Is this a relatively new development? Did medical science always believe this?
Well, medical science has always known inflammation is what's causing the pain, right? So inflammation, what is inflammation? Inflammation is when there's sort of there's a trigger of some sort, and your immune system reacts to that trigger and releases these chemical compounds that zip around your body, causing swelling, pain, heat, and redness. That's sort of the definition of an itis. Like if you have arthritis, the definition of the inflammation is redness, pain, swelling, and heat. And if you see it on the outside of your body, like in a joint, it's very obvious. You can see it. But on the inside, like in your gut or in your muscles or, you know, inside your joints, you can't really see what's going on, but we know that those inflammatory compounds and chemicals are there. That's not new. We've always known that. What we're learning is where, when I talk about root cause, I'm looking for the root cause of that inflammation. So we know that inflammation causes the pain, but the question is, what's the root cause of the inflammation? And that's what's new, and that, you know, newer. You know, in the world of functional medicine, I'm in my second decade of practicing this kind of what we call root cause medicine,
mm-hmm.
and we've always been looking for where inflammation originates in the body. It doesn't, so it's showing up in the joints, and we know that the inflammation, like I said, I'm repeating myself a little just to drive home the point. The inflammation, knowing that there's inflammation in the joints isn't new. What's new is we're understanding now where that's coming from.
Listeners, just a little bit about Dr. Blum. And by the way, if you're looking for her online, it's B-L-U-M, Blum, Dr. Susan Blum. She's an assistant clinical professor in the Department of Preventative Medicine at the Mount Sinai School of Medicine in New York City. As she said, she's been treating and preventive chronic disease for more than a decade. She also serves on the Medical Advisory Board for the Dr. Oz Show, and she is the founder of Blum Center for Health. Is there a website for the Blum Center for Health, by the way, Doctor?
Absolutely. So our website is blumhealthmd.com, and that's where I would send everybody to look at me and my programs. If you're interested in the book, I have amazing, like, free giveaway information and downloads that we giving away for free on the website for the book, which is healingarthritisthebook.com. And if you go there, I have all sorts of videos and information about the book and some free downloads that you can get.
Okay, this is a good opportunity for us to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about the three-step guide that is outlined at some length in Dr. Blum's book, Healing Arthritis. You're listening to It's Your Turn on WISR. We'll pick up our conversation with Dr. Susan Blum right after these words. Time for a checkup for your pet. We recommend Suburban Animal Clinic. Or maybe Fido or Tabby's not feeling so well. Suburban Animal Clinic, a small animal veterinary practice located Route 8 south of Butler at the intersection with Thorncrest Drive. It's about 5 miles south of Butler. Suburban Animal Clinic, in the spirit of Dr. Dennis Damon. Their services include wellness checks for your pet, of course, also emergency care. They have laser therapy, dental available, also prescription diets. You know, one of the things that are problems for a lot of our pets these days, being overweight. Microchipping, they can handle that as well. Suburban Animal Clinic, Route 8, south of Butler. If you're headed south from Butler toward Pittsburgh, as soon as you pass all the auto dealerships, start looking on your left. That's Suburban Animal Clinic, Route 8 South at Thorncrest Drive. Welcome back. I'm Dave Malarkey. You're listening to It's Your Turn here on WISR. And our guest is Dr. Susan Blum, MD. She's a medical doctor and the author of a book entitled Healing Arthritis, Your Three-Step Guide to Conquering Arthritis Naturally. So we spent the first part of our conversation, Dr. Blum, talking about just what arthritis is, the root cause being inflammation. Now we want to take some time and talk about your three-step guide. We can treat this naturally, you claim?
Yes. Well, I believe very strongly that we can heal it naturally. And actually, one of the things I love, that I really enjoyed about this book, this is my second book. I wrote a previous book on autoimmunity. In this book, I wrote a lot of stories about many, many patients that I treated and different kinds of arthritis and the way that we worked through this three-step program together. And so it's just very exciting to see, you know, people get better, especially after they've been told by their conventional docs or their rheumatologists that they're just going to have to live this way for the rest of their lives and be on very strong pain-killing medication, which is, you know, look, conventional medicine is great. If you really are suffering, you're in a flare, you really need to, it's okay to need medication to sort of feel better at that, you know, to do both, right? So you get take the medication if you need it to sort of get yourself through this acute phase of or this acute pain that you're having. But then we need to dig into the root cause, like why, where is this inflammation coming from? And here's my three-step program that I offer people, which I've been using in my practice for, you know, almost two decades to really reverse arthritis. Number one, there's always a food plan that you start with, because food is, the way you're eating is the number one thing that influences the health of your gut as well as determines the levels of inflammation in your body. And so I offer what I call, it's a leaky gut diet for arthritis. And it's really a basic, if you have inflammatory arthritis or inflammation in your joints, we know that you have some damage to your digestive system. Your gut has some damage. And when you have a damage, and I'm going to talk about that in step two, right? We fix the gut in step two. But for step one, we start with a food plan that is the way to eat if you, for people with a damaged gut. And so we do a basic elimination diet, which is temporary. It's just for step one, and it's, you remove gluten, dairy, soy, corn, eggs, and nightshade vegetables. And so there is a food plan, and the book explains it. It's very straightforward and easy. It doesn't sound as easy when I explain it now, by now, when you're just listening to it, but I promise we hold your hand and take you through it. It's really, really important, because when you have a damaged gut, the food you're eating can often be coming into the body and triggering inflammation. It can be a trigger of inflammation. But once we then move to step two, which is repairing the gut, intensive gut repair, once you repair your gut, you can eat those foods again. The problem isn't so much the food. The problem is the damaged gut. And this is what we're learning and we've learned in the past decade of research.
That kind of scared me, because when you said, for the initial start, no gluten and no dairy, no soy, no corn, no eggs, no sugar, no coffee, not a whole lot left. But you don't have to do that forever.
Huh? Well, you don't do it forever. And it's a temporary. So here's the thing. To make this simple for people listening, it's really, think about it like there's the initial therapeutic phase of the program. You have to start with something quickly. It's like the harder part, which is the beginning. You want to feel better quickly, and you want to remove those triggers. And so it's sort of the therapeutic phase. Yes, at the beginning, everybody, you're not going to find anybody in the functional integrative medicine world. We all start with some sort of an elimination diet, because we know that when you have a leaky gut, and your listeners can look up this term leaky gut, it's like all over, you know, the news and the internet, like we, all the functional people, we all understand, even conventional gastroenterology, we now know there's this thing called a leaky gut, and conventional rheumatologists, it's in conventional journals now, there's a thing called leaky gut, and if you have arthritis, you have a leaky gut. And so food you're eating is going to cause some inflammation. So until we heal your leaky gut, which is step two, you know, you're going to have to, if you want to feel better and reduce that pain, restricting some of these foods is going to help you feel better. So instead of focusing on what you can't eat, here's the thing. You can have all grains, but you can't, you're just going to not have gluten grains, right? So you can have rice and quinoa. There's plenty to eat. Right? And so you can have all vegetables, just not corn. Mm-hmm. Right? You can have all legumes, just not soy. So you have to think of it that way.
Okay.
You know, like there's plenty of food.
Yeah, that makes
right?
sense.
You can have chicken and turkey and you can have lamb. There's plenty of food to eat, right? And so there's just a certain amount, there's just a few things we're going to take out, and we help you through that. And you'll feel better. I mean, that's the thing. Isn't it worth it if you have less pain on the food plan, you know?
And you do that for 2 weeks, you say?
You start that the first 2 weeks, exactly.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And then you start working on healing the gut. And the way that you work on healing the gut, there's some very simple ways to start. I do recommend herbs, and I explain to you where you can get them, you know, and I explain exactly what to buy. And you can, there's plenty of places to buy things. You can get them online at Amazon even, right? Mm-hmm. And so I explain to you which herbs. Because often there's an overgrowth of yeast or bad bacteria, sometimes parasites in the gut. And so there's just simple herbs that you can take to just sort of prune the inner garden, like I say, I like to say, right? So we're going to prune the garden and clean out those bad bacteria. You don't end up in the bathroom. It's sort of like a gut cleanse.
Okay.
So you need to do this sort of gut cleanse, which I take you through very simply, and then I talk about probiotics and the use of probiotics. So probiotics are really helpful. And so you work on repairing the balance of the gut microbes. And that can take anywhere from 1 to 2 months, depending on how bad your arthritis is. And so we work on that. And as you do that, you will feel better. And then step three, which I want to, this is where it's really important to understand. The step three, this is from my experience of 2 decades of doing this. I call this the Finish What You Started program, right? I really bring the sanity back. Here's the way to live your, here's what we know about long-term. Here's how to eat in the long term. And this is where I start talking about the Mediterranean diet because it supports the good gut bacteria. You know, this is where we talk about, you know, mindfulness and stress and how stress comes into the body and damages the gut. Because in the long run, to have a healthy gut is what's going to keep your arthritis pain at bay. And so you heal the gut, you heal your arthritis. And so there's a long-term sort of suggestions and a program that's very easy to integrate into your life that I take people through in step three. You know, so I promise you that there's a beginning, more intensive part, but I promise that I take everyone to a very easy to incorporate permanent suggestions that's going to help you heal your arthritis over the long term.
A couple of questions occurred to me. You mentioned probiotics, and I know that's in three of your steps. You know, it seems to me that probiotics, when you're at the store, it's like organic or natural, which has now appeared on almost everything you pick up. I mean, you can pick up anything and it says probiotics. So you talk a little bit about that in your book so we know what we're doing with probiotics?
Yes, there's a whole section on probiotics, actually. And just a quick tip for people listening. Probiotics are very interesting. What are probiotics? They're actually some strains of those good bacteria that live in our gut. We actually you can take it in a pill form. I love also using food, right? So there's cultured foods. If you know, at first we always remove dairy at the beginning just to see, and then you reintroduce the dairy and see if it gives you any digestive symptoms. If you're not sensitive to dairy, then yogurt is fine, right? So you can, but you can also do cultured coconut milk or cultured. There are other ways to get cultured foods. There's fermented vegetables like sauerkraut. So there's a way to get in probiotics that's food-based, okay? So that's the first thing. So at the end of the day, and I talk a lot about this even in the long step three, which is the Finish What You Started sort of program for long-term, is to do it with food, right? To try to get all these things and not need supplements. That's the goal.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but probiotics, when you're in the store, the research is very clear that for arthritis, probiotics are helpful. They reduce inflammation. It's not like you're just taking seeds that are going to plant new flowers to grow in your inner garden, right? It's actually the probiotics themselves are what we call immunomodulators. They reduce inflammation in the body. And so so the studies really look at many strains, so many strains of lactobacillus. So I always tell people, when you go to the store, find a probiotic supplement that has as many strains as possible. And so there's some really good over-the-counter strains, like Garden of Life, for example. And I don't have any stake in Garden of Life, I'm just mm-hmm. saying. That's an easy one to find in any of the store health food stores. And so they have many, like 10, 11, 12 different strains of bacteria. And then you know you're going to get sort of what you need. So I favor multi-strains. You want to make sure that a probiotic doesn't give you things you don't want. So some of them are grown on dairy medium, so I like it to be corn and dairy free,
okay.
Right, when you're choosing, because they have fillers in them, supplements. That's sometimes supplements, when you choose any supplements, the big challenge is you want to make sure that what's in there is what you need, but it's not also bringing things you don't, mm-hmm. right? So mm-hmm. fillers and dyes and things like that. And so you want to make sure you're choosing a brand that has no, and it should say it on the bottle, on the box or bottle, easy for you to see, because they should be proud of it, right? So in terms of refrigerated versus not refrigerated, if possible, Garden of Life is not refrigerated, so that is one that's okay. Some of them are fine not refrigerated, but I also, because sometimes you don't know where that bottle's been or how it was transported or how it came from the warehouse, to the shelf that you're looking at, I do often recommend choosing a refrigerated one if possible.
Mm-hmm. Now, listeners, obviously there's a lot more on probiotics in Dr. Blum's book, Healing Arthritis. A couple of other things I have to mention because I've read about these being good for arthritis. Fish oil and vitamin D. I know you talk about both of those things.
Absolutely. And so, first of all, even for people, even if you're listening and you don't have arthritis, inflammation is the root problem for heart disease. We're looking at it for Alzheimer's disease and chronic degenerative brain stuff. Diabetes, cancer, inflammation is at the root of many, many chronic diseases and pain syndromes. And so at the end of the day, you want to reduce inflammation. So when you talk about fish oil, it's sort of an extension of food, right? Because fish oil gives you omega-3 fats. And the standard American diet, the modern American diet, is really imbalanced in the kinds of fats people eat. Animal fat and saturated fat is more inflammatory. Dairy fat is more inflammatory in the body. Whereas fish oil, fat from fish and fat from nuts and seeds is anti-inflammatory. And so we know that that giving people fish oil reduces their pain and inflammation. And so the dose is so two things. I wanted to make the point that you can do that. It illustrates the importance of food, right? And that eventually you could work with food to get the right kinds of balance of fat in your body so that you'll reduce inflammation. And that's one of the food strategies in the Mediterranean diet, right? It's high in olive oil, nuts and seeds, and fish. Fish oil, taking supplements, which I usually always recommend when the person first comes in to see me, again, this is the therapeutic phase. This is the first few months. High-dose fish oil, which is rich in EPA, DHA, studies have been very clear that they reduce pain and inflammation in the body and in the joints. 3 grams a day of EPA plus DHA, you need to really dose up, right? Mm-hmm. And you want to choose a fish oil that says on the label, guaranteed, free, purity guaranteed. No heavy metals, no pesticides, tested, right? So you want to make sure it's really clean.
I got, and our time runs short here, but I must ask you about vitamin D because I've read about that being good. Now, when I was in, high school, you learned about getting vitamin B by being out in the sun. Now we worry about damage from being out in the sun too long. So is it okay to take a vitamin D supplement?
First of all, thank you for bringing up vitamin D. So, so important. Vitamin D is one of the most important regulators of the immune system. It's for every aspect of your immune system, including inflammation. So I don't have one patient I could think of in my entire medical practice, that, which is thousands of people, that doesn't require a vitamin D supplement. Now, I'm in New York, so, part of it is the exposure to the sun, right? But there's something that's changed in terms of whether it's our ability for the skin to absorb it or whether it's just the atmosphere's changed and the actual light has changed. But people are not maintaining vitamin D levels by being outside anymore. And yes, people slather themselves with sunscreen, which is going to prevent the vitamin D. So if you want to try to get your vitamin D from sunshine, you actually have to be outside. And it's really in the Northeast, it's 4 months a year, right? So it's only June, July, or May, June, July, August where it's strong enough. And you have to 20 minutes and you have to be in a tank top and shorts, of no sunscreen. So we have an epidemic of low vitamin D levels, and it's your doctor, everybody listening, your doctor should be testing you for this. It's part of an annual checkup. You get a vitamin D level checked and you see what kind of levels of vitamin D dosing you need. In my practice, I find that 2,000 a day of vitamin D, I check everyone's levels, and I give them a dose based upon what they need to get their targeted vitamin D in the blood to between 50 and 70. That's the levels I'm trying to get people to, and so I dose people, I prescribe the dose based upon helping them raise it to that level. I find 2,000 a day is like maintenance for most of my patients. Hmm. And I go up to 5,000 a day, to raise it, to get it up to 50 to 70. But we follow it. But really, really important. And so, yes, absolutely. Fish oil, vitamin D, and there's another kind of oil called GLA, which is borage oil or evening primrose. Really good studies on people with rheumatoid arthritis that 500 milligrams a day of borage oil or evening primrose is also will help lower the pain and inflammation of arthritis. So,
folks, there's tons more on supplements
tons.
In the book. There,
I know.
There are case studies in the book. There's even a section of recipes toward the back. So if you or someone you know or love is dealing with this, it seems like a pretty good book. The title is Healing Arthritis, Your Three-Step Guide to Conquering Arthritis Naturally. And it's by Susan Blum, B-L-U-M, Dr. Susan Blum, M.D. Doctor, nice to talk with you today. Thanks for joining us here.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Sure. So long now.
Bye.
The Young Funeral Home of Butler invites you to stop by their Jefferson Street location, downtown Butler, to talk about pre-arrangements. Not the easiest thing to do, but necessary. And the Young family will walk you through the process, making it very comfortable and really easy to take care of. You'll experience peace of mind knowing that your wishes and plans will be carried out to the last detail. Call the Young Funeral Home in Butler today to make an appointment with a member of the Young family. Generations of the Young family have been caring for generations of Butler families for well over 40 years. The Young Funeral Home, West Jefferson Street in Butler.
Thanks for joining us for today's edition of It's Your Turn with Dave Malarkey here on WISR 680 AM. Today's broadcast is also archived for you online at WISR680.com. Tune in again next time for Dave Malarkey's It's Your Turn, weekdays from 1230 to 130, right here on WISR 680.
Just ain't good enough. Girl, I want to provide.